We're in Genesis chapter 41. We won't get very far, and that's okay. Just a quick review to get everybody up to speed. We've been talking about the history of Jacob that started several chapters ago, chapter 37, I believe it was. Primarily, the character and focus is Joseph, and we've talked about Joseph for the last several chapters, other than the one about Judah. Joseph, probably most of you know, I assume, but Joseph was hated of his brothers. They sold him into slavery to some Ishmaelite traders, and the Ishmaelite traders in turn took him down to Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. He was in Potiphar's house, and God was with him and blessed him. And he was over Potiphar's house except for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife deceived Potiphar and accused Joseph wrongly of trying to take advantage of her. And so Potiphar put him in prison. We talked about he put him in the prison in his own house. While he was in prison, he met a butler and a baker. We talked about that last week. The butler and the baker had angered Pharaoh for some unknown reason. They had been put into prison. While they were there, they both had a dream. Egyptians were big on dreams. And we're going to see this in chapter 41. But Joseph told them that God could interpret their dreams, and he interpreted them. He told him that the butler was going to get to go back to work, and the baker was going to be killed. And in turn, those very same things happened. Joseph had one favor to ask. The butler says, "When you're reinstated, remember me when you get back to the house of Pharaoh." And at the end of chapter 40, the Bible says the butler completely forgot about him. And that was because of a lack of gratitude. He was more concerned with himself. And so Joseph had to just sit in prison. So that's the scene of where we are. Chapter 41, again, probably most of you know this. But chapter 41, Joseph is going to get out of prison. And he is going to be the second most powerful man in the world by the time the chapter is over. So I want to talk about that. I don't even know if we'll get into the text, but think about that. Joseph got his big break. You know, a lot of times people today are looking for their big break, aren't they? Why do millions upon millions of people play the lottery every morning when they go in and get their coffee at a gas station? What are they looking for? Their big break, right? They want their big, if I can just win this, then everything's going to be okay. I'll rise up to where I want to be. Everything will be great. And kind of that's how we look at Joseph, right? It's almost as if he won the lottery. He wasn't playing the lottery, but in a sense, he went from prison to the second most powerful man in the world. He got his big break. And sometimes we look at that and we say, well, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Joseph loved God, so therefore he succeeded in life. And sometimes what we do is we look at that and we relate it to our own life, and we think if we love God and we try to do what's right, then everything's going to always turn out good and right, because it did for Joseph, right? Even though he suffered, it turned out, and it was good for him. Is that necessarily going to happen to us? No. You see, that's how sometimes people read accounts like this, and they think just because you're a Christian and you're trying to do what's right, then ultimately you're going to succeed in life because of that. And just because it worked out for Joseph doesn't mean it's going to work out for us. So remember that. All the Bible guarantees us as a Christian is that we're going to suffer. You realize that? Well, it guarantees us in the end when we die, if we're faithful, go to heaven, all of that. But I'm talking about as far as our life here on this earth, God guarantees us we'll suffer. God guarantees us he will provide for our needs, but our needs are much less than our wants, aren't they? I don't need to eat as much as I do every day, do I? I want to. You know, I don't need to eat a T-bone steak on the weekend, but I sure like to, but I don't need that. God will provide what I need, but not necessarily what I want. So my faithfulness is not necessarily going to result just like Joseph's. It's not going to be guaranteed. Now, sometimes it does, but it's not going to be guaranteed that you know, you're going to rise up and you're going to basically be this amazing thing because you've been faithful. All right, number two. This story of Joseph is a lesson in how to handle success. And if I ask you this question, which one is easier to handle, being in the pits or success like Joseph is going to have? And when I ask that question, probably most of you are thinking, well, it's a lot easier to handle success, right? I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. Most people will handle better hardships than they handle success. Isn't that true? When you find yourself falling on hard times, what do? A lot of times? You might hit your knees, right? You might call out to God. You might look around for people to help you. You might strengthen your faith. You might, you know, your thought process is different. When everything in your life turns and goes good, what do? You pray less. Well, let's look at the butler. Yeah, that's true. Look at the butler. When things in his life were difficult, he turned for help, right? He was in prison. He turned for help. Joseph helped him. When things in his life went good, what did he do? He gained success. He forgot about everything else, right? He let the success ruin him, and success ruins a lot of good people. So Joseph is a key in how to handle success. He never let the success go to his head. He never let it turn him into somebody that was not who he was. Have you ever known people that success has made them into something that you don't know anymore? Money has turned them into somebody you don't know anymore. And it's just changed their whole life, their whole demeanor and everything about them. Yeah, because success is harder to handle than hardships. And we need to understand that. Success is a thing that if we don't handle it right, man, I mean, life can be very, very difficult, and we can turn our backs on everything that we know to be true. So we're going to see Joseph here. We're going to see that he did get his big break, and his break was from God, but every step of the way, God was bringing him to this point in his life. Joseph had a gift. If I ask you, what was Joseph's gift? I would hope that you would figure that out. Everything that we've studied about Joseph thus far, and even what we're about to begin to study, Joseph had a gift to do one thing. What was it? I don't know. I can hear. He was a leader, wasn't he? Somebody said something. But he was a leader. You know, when he was at home, we talked about the fact that Jacob had put him in charge of his brothers, right? You know, he was one reporting back on his brothers. He was the one when his brothers went to, you know, far away to feed the sheep. Jacob says, hey, go check on him. Bring a report back to me. When he got to Potiphar's house, what was he? Second in command over Potiphar's house. When he got to jail, what was he? Well, he was over everybody in the jail. When he goes to the top in Pharaoh's house, what is he? He's the second man in charge. Pharaoh says, the only thing that makes me better than you is I'm on the throne and you're not. So Joseph had a gift to lead. He was an administrator. He knew how to take people and handle situations. Joseph would have been a good elder, wouldn't he? He was a leader. You know, nowhere in any of this do we read that Joseph is converting people for God and Joseph is, you know, preaching messages. And you know, sometimes we think when it comes to a man of God, if that's not what you're doing, then you're not necessarily important and you're not doing what you need to do. You don't read any of that about Joseph, do you? Not one bit. But what did Joseph do? He took what God had blessed him with and he ran with it, didn't he? Everywhere that he went, he took what God blessed him with and he ran with it. And that's a lesson to us. Listen, whatever God blessed you with, just run with it. You got to figure out what it is at some point in your life. And the only way you figure out what that is you're going to have to try different things. You're going to have to listen to other people. Do you realize people will tell you what you're good at? Sometimes we think we're good at certain things. And sometimes, you know, people need to tell us that maybe we're not, right? I was talking to a guy one time, and I told him, you know, I said, I don't lead singing because I can't sing. I'm horrible. And he says, yeah, but I feel like I need to do that. And, you know, I said, what are you good at? Well, not really, but I feel like I need to do it. I said, you don't need to be leading singing. You know, tried to be honest with him. But that's what we've got to learn. Joseph took what he was good at, and he ran with it. So what you guys need to do, and I've talked about this here before, is we need to help each other to figure out what we're good at and take what you're good at and run with it. You know, and it may not be something glamorous. I did a lesson here one time on Noah's wife. You don't even know what her name was. You know absolutely nothing about her, but was she absolutely essential to Noah and his kids and in-laws getting on that boat? Yeah. Her job was in the background, and we know nothing about her. But she was just as important as Noah. She was on the boat, just as important as the other seven people. So learn that lesson from Joseph. Joseph was a man that took what he could do for God, and he did it. We can also learn from Joseph that he was humble. We're going to see as we go through this account that at no point in any of this did Joseph ever let anything go to his head. Now, he could have. He could have. Maybe when he was young, we see a little bit of that with his brothers when he had the dream. And but he's 17 years old. What 17-year-old doesn't have a little bit of arrogance, cockiness about him? They do, right? But as he gets older, we never see that. We never see none of it ever went to his head. He was just simply trying to do what God would have him to do. He always gave God the glory in all things that he did. Well, quickly, we got just a couple minutes. Get started. It says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. We mentioned that last week, verse 1. 2 full years Joseph has sat in that prison cell and wondered why the butler didn't remember him. 2 full years after he'd interpreted these dreams. We don't know how many years he had been there before that, but we're going to see that 13 years, I mentioned that last week, have passed, but from the time he was sold into slavery to he's 30 years old here in chapter 41. So 13 years he served in Potiphar's house and in prison. So he was in Potiphar's house for all of 13 years, either upstairs or downstairs, one of the two. So Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. The 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians in Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Those are weird dreams, aren't they? What's the weirdest part about the first part about the cows? Those of you that have cows, you ever seen a cow eat another cow? You don't see that, do you? You might see a dog eat on another dog or something like that, but you've never seen a cow eat on another cow. Now, can you imagine you have a dream, and this dream, he's going to repeat it to Joseph later. First thing he sees is 7 fat, beautiful cows, the kind that you would want to, buy, right? That you would want to own. That'd be the kind you'd want to sell. Those big, fat, beautiful ones that bring a lot of money. And in these 7 ugly, it's going to say later on that these were uglier than any cow that had ever been seen in Egypt. And the New King James says they're gaunt. The word simply means thin. The first ones are fat and healthy, and then the thin ones. And the thin ones eat the fat ones. And later on, Pharaoh's going to say, after they ate those fat ones, they didn't get any bigger. It didn't change anything. So a very weird dream. We're out of time. We'll pick that up next week, Lord willing.